Donald X.
I'm an addict. My name is Donald.
Hey, Donald.
I'm here by God's grace and his mercy. Do I need to read this speaker statement?
Yes.
This is a speaker statement. Speaker, the NA member chosen to speak at the NA meeting need to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. An area where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to travel long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope for recovery. Again, my name is Donald, and I'm an addict. I'm here by God's grace and his mercy. I'm from the greater Newark area, and I want to just thank the Capital Area for allowing me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope on instant gratification. You know, I'm one of five kids, born and raised in Newark. I used a lot of drugs for a lot of years. I'm a middle child, and all my life, I wanted stuff like post haste. I mean, like yesterday. I never wanted to wait, because I always wanted what I wanted when I wanted, and I needed it instantaneous. I needed stuff like 20 days ago today. I always been, I ran off of impulse all my life. I remember working for a phone company, and it was really impulse selling and switching people to MCI. That was impulse. I did that by impulse. Everything I did was quick. I always wanted the end result without doing anything to get it. I wanted mine like microwavable. I wanted stuff real fast, real quick. Now, what am I talking about? I got an excellent profession. I'm working on a PhD now. But I didn't want to do the work to get the PhD. Listen, let me tell y'all, let me get honest. I was going to buy a doctorate degree over in London, England, about 3 weeks ago. But what I had to do was I had to talk to somebody about that. And I remember talking to my sponsor. He said, Donald, man, I don't suggest you do that. I had a great idea to get this PhD through this school in London. But nobody know but me and God. But had I not talked about it, I would have been about it. I don't know about y'all, because I like stuff real fast without the work. And the sixth step, talk about we want the reward without the labor. I wanted this PhD because nobody would listen. The bottom line is greed, because I know it was going to get me at least $120,000 next year. Per year. And I don't know about y'all, sponsors tell me and tell us all the time, there's nothing spiritual in being broke. Nothing. So I like to wear nice stuff. For a lot of years I didn't do that. I didn't know how to do that because of my inability to accept my own personal responsibility a long time ago. Not just yesterday. I'm 50 years old. I used drugs a little over 42 years. I came in Narcotics Anonymous in 1995. I just celebrated 3 years. You do the math. I'm a 12-step member of a 12-step fellowship because I like that instant stuff. Sponge said to me, Donald, how soon do you want to get better? I said, yesterday. Sponge put me to work. I had the willingness to do the work. I don't know about anybody in here, but I always, all my life, I wanted a real quick fix to all situations. I didn't want to wait, because wait broke the wagon down. I didn't want to wait. I needed mine now. I need to hurry up, get mine now, get out the way so won't nobody know. I was not that type of guy that had the patience and the tolerance to sit and wait or meditate to get it. That's not my story. First of all, I suffer from ADHD. So that keeps me hyper. That keeps me on the move. I was diagnosed with that. I don't take anything for that. So on any given day, I want stuff like immediately. I listen, and the instant gratification that the drugs gave me was what I chased for a lot of years. It was only till I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the Fellowship of NA that y'all told me, Donald, easy does it. What? What are you talking about? Easy to what? I did not understand what easy does it meant. Y'all told me if I couldn't pick it up, I couldn't use it. That shot over my head. I was one of them addicts that I had a better way. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I had the best way to use a substance. I don't know about y'all. I used to like stuff taking me out of my character. I did. I don't have that story. Listen, please don't take this as nothing but the way I'm giving it to y'all. But if you do, call your sponsor. Listen to me. I don't have that story of Jails Institute. I don't have that. I got a money, property, and prestige story. That diverted me a lot of years from ever staying clean. Listen, I came in this fellowship in 95 and walked out the door the same day because I knew y'all was using and I was going to find out. I was going to find it out. All that, because listen, I'm very strategic. I could figure some stuff out because I could look around and say, oh, that joker ain't living right. That was who I was. I'm telling y'all about me. So for a lot of years, I would come in and leave out and come in and leave out and come in. Listen, man, I had 15 months clean and I went out and used because I had a bright idea. Because I liked the way that cocaine made me feel. I could talk about that today. It gave me an instant feeling that, whoa, man, I was on top of the moon. It did that for me. And cocaine is psychological. Heroin is physical in nature. Heroin, if you don't get it, you can't go to work. Cocaine ain't stop me. I'm one of them addicts that work. Every day I worked in this. Listen, I did what I do for 27. This is my 27th year in what I do. I'm going to give you a clue that I educate kids. You figure that out. Right? For 27 years, because I needed that instant gratification, I worked for the drug man. Listen, y'all, I was so sick. I used to coach baseball, right? And the drug boy be waiting on the side. So as soon as I finished baseball practice, I'd go get it from him. I had it bad. Because I wasn't one of them addicts that wait and went to get home to set it all up, do all of that good stuff, make it cute, you know, change your clothes and get it all dressed up. Man, I had to do it when I got it. I don't know about that stuff. Setting it up, making it all night, wait for a certain time. Fuck what you heard. I had to get that in right now before them jokers leave because he had that stuff that really made my ears ring. Listen, for a lot of years, y'all, I did not know how to put the brakes on nothing. Everything that I did was instant. Listen, like when you make instant grits, you want them jokers fast. But yeah, when you make instant potatoes, and I don't like them instant potatoes today, I want them to peel them, cut them up, put them in the pot, let them boil, then make some mashed potatoes. I don't do that instant stuff well today. But back then, man, listen, I needed stuff expeditiously. Let's expedite this. Let's expedite this real fast. Expedite it expeditiously so we can get this party started now. Wait a minute, Donald. Relax. Listen, for a lot of years, and I think what I did as a direct result, I gave my own self ADHD and high blood pressure. I really believe that. I always was moving. I always wanted to find the quickest way to, listen, they say the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's what they say. I wanted to take the least route to get to what I needed to get to. And whatever I was doing, listen, if I was with a woman, listen, girl, you need to come without the stuff underneath your clothes, because that take too long. That's just where I was at. Listen, man, I wanted it. Look, come on, girl, hurry up. Hurry up so we could do this. You know, I was one of them addicts who I lived a secret life for a long time in Europe. I was in the army. And I did some things in the army over there that was good. I did some stuff that wasn't so good. And I did some stuff that really wasn't so good. And they sent my ass home. They sent my ass home. Listen, I remember being over there. I wanted to hurry up and leave Germany because I know I had made some babies over there. And I had to get out of there because the unit had deactivated. So some of the soldiers was going to different places in Germany. They were sending me back to the world, coming back to the United States. And I wanted to hurry up and get to Frankfurt International Airport to get on the plane. So I had a friend of mine who was driving jokers up to their new units, driving people that was short, who had a little time, that was coming back to the world, we call this. Man, hurry up and get me to the airport, because I don't want them to see me. I remember taking off my army stuff, putting on civilian clothes, getting in the truck. It was a green van with no windows, and just the two windows, the front window and the two side. I'm in the back changing clothes. Man, are we out of the gate now? Now I'm trying to be on the Autobahn going up to Frankfurt to go to the airport so I can hurry up and get out of Germany. I don't know, man. It took a long time for me to calm down. I wanted everything. Listen, man, I would do stuff haphazardly, just so I could get it done. And let me tell you the funny part about all of it. Then I could say, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was him. I did. That was my mode of operation, better known as MO. That's just who I was. I'd like to do stuff real fast and get the results real quick. I remember taking exams. I went to undergrad school up in Teaneck, New Jersey, at Fairleigh Dickinson University, right? Listen, man, and I ain't never told nobody I was the greatest student. I remember, man, we had to get what we had to get, right? So we went into one of them buildings and got the test because we wanted, on the day of the test, I wanted to get through it real fast so I could get back to the pub and do what I was doing. So what we had to do, we had to go to the school, man, had to go into the College of Business and get one of them exams. We knew what it was because I worked in work study and I surveillanced the whole place. I know they ain't had no alarm. I knew all that. I'm telling y'all, man, this is what I did. Talking about instant gratification. Listen, man, I want to take this short look. Going to school, I remember walking to school, I want to do the shortcut shit. I don't want to go long way with anybody. I want to take the shortcut so I can get there real fast. So by the time y'all get there, I can say, see, y'all taking the long way. That's just who I was. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous and y'all told me the easy does it, what? What are you talking about, easy does what? You know, take it easy, Donald. Put the brakes on some stuff. This is not a race. It's a pain. Listen. I wanted to be, how about this? Tell me this ain't sick. I wanted to be a 12-step member with 30 days clean. I'm telling you about me. Sponsor, man, take it easy. We got to go over some suggested stuff before we do that. Suggest what, man? It's me telling help how to help me. Listen, y'all, I'm sick. And see, because I'm educated, I thought that I could think my way through this thing. Listen, in my mind, y'all, I'm a legend. Y'all ain't heard about Donald West? What's wrong with you? Y'all don't know about me? I ain't even know about me. How about that? Listen, man, listen. I thought that all I had to do was read these steps, and I had it. Look, man, I wrote some really outstanding research papers, man. So I could do this. So I thought. It wasn't until Sponsor just slowed my Mustang down. Man, take it easy, mister. First of all, you don't even know how to stay clean. Then I got angry with him. I don't know about y'all. Who the fuck he think he talking to? Who that motherfucker is? He talking, he don't, what? Listen, man, look, It was so rough in the beginning with me trying to stay clean. I was making so much money at work sponsored Donald. I'm going to give you a suggestion. I suggest you stop work.
Whoa!
I had to stop work for 2 years to get clean because I was making too much money. And in the beginning, I wasn't with that shit. The seventh sense say, when addicts come to help us, our first line is we be defensive. I was very defensive. Then I thought that joker wanted some of my money. That's what my thinking went. But then I got open. I got open and said, wait a minute. He might be on to something. He just might be on to something. Listen, y'all, I had never heard that in my area, not the greater Nova area. Motherfuckers ain't even go to work. I got to stop work. You know, listen, I love my area, but I'm telling you how it is. Listen, so I didn't hear that story that I had to stop work for 2 years to get clean. So I was a little wishy-washy with that shit. Remember, I like this instant gratification shit because I remember getting my check and that shit be gone instantly. All that shit be gone. Ain't that some shit? So that was kind of hard for me, but I did it. And as a direct result of doing that, I'm here tonight. And I'm forever grateful that I was a little open. I wasn't all the way open for that shit. When he told me, man, I suggest you stop work. I'll tell you something. I'm so grateful for this program. Now, I'm going to talk about how stuff is today. As a direct result of me stopping using drugs for 3 years, a little over 3 years, having gone over the 12 steps with Spons, I don't know what you feel about that. 3 years clean, 12-step member. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I'm able, as a direct result from the fellowship, sponsorship, to calm down. I don't have to have everything fast today. They told me I'm going to the University of Sarasota online to work on an EDD, which is equivalent to a PhD. They said, Donald, it's going to take 3 years. I said, okay. I'm all right with it. Because there was a time when I was not all right with that. Why I got to do 3 years? Why we can't do this shit in a year and a half? I always wanted stuff fast. So as a direct result of that, I'm okay with the fact that the next 3 years, I got to just do the work to get the results that I want. Because I always want the quality of my life to be well. And y'all told me, Donald, you don't get high. The sky's the limit in what you want to do in life. And I bought into that. And I bought into that a lot. And I'm seeing the evidence. I got my own evidence. I don't need your evidence no more. I ain't no more miracles and no more coincidences no more. That was in the beginning. Yes, that was fine. Now I got my own evidence. If I don't pick up drugs, I can do whatever I want. When these people accepted me to that university, they wanted me to start October of last year. And I said no. Because that was kind of instant. They accepted me, come on, because my master's degree, I'm getting my master's degree in Trenton at Thomas Edison College. Y'all got to, whoever live in Trenton, they got a school down there, online, Thomas Edison, 101 East West State Street, out of sight. They give you 2 year degrees, 4 year degrees, and 6 year degrees. I'm just making a suggestion. If you're thinking about doing it and you're pretty decent with the computer, I just make a suggestion. You give them a call. You know, So as a direct result of me doing the step work, calming down, not being eager and anxious anymore, God has done some things with my life. You know, I teach 8th grade special education in the city of Irvington. And my kids got multiple problems. How about this? Let me tell you how good God is. My God, I don't know about yours. I'm sorry. Most of my kids got ADHD. How about I got ADHD? We one big happy family in that motherfucker. How about that shit? How about that? Listen. Listen, man. Friday, just yesterday, I didn't go to work because I had to do some other things. I passed the principal's exam, y'all. I passed the principal's exam, so I had to go take the paperwork to the Essex County Superintendent office. They'll forward it down to Trenton to the Department of Higher Education. Right now I'm looking at becoming assistant principal or director next year. And that's only through God's grace and me calming down and taking it easy and studying real hard. For those who struggling with going to school, it's the best kept thing you could do for yourself, y'all. Listen, listen, I don't know about y'all. I love, look, y'all can say what y'all want, but it ain't physical. I love physical shit. I look good in this pink tonight. I know that shit. Y'all can call it how you want. You can call it, about, listen, I look good in this shit. And then 3 years ago, I ain't look good in shit. I'm telling you some good shit, and only God can do that. Only God can do that. And if it can happen for me, it can happen for anybody. Thank you. So, January 13th of this year, I took the principal's exam for the state of New Jersey, and I was scared as hell, y'all. I ain't gonna tell you, I was scared as hell. 6-hour exam, picture this, 6-hour all essay with a pencil. And I hold a pencil, my fingers was numb. All they do is let you shake it and keep writing. My fingers were so numb, I dropped the pencil one time. My hand just started shaking. But God fixed that. God fixed that. And I finished this exam. February 13th, we got the results. I needed a 148, y'all. I got a 163. I don't know about y'all, man. That's big boy, grown man shit for a sucker like me, man. Now, what did that take me? Y'all know. I don't got to tell you. I'm looking at 6 digits next year. And that's as a direct result of me being open and me calming the fuck down through God, through sponsorship, through y'all. Right? Because some people in the room helped me with that. Because I was wondering, man, how the fuck I calm down? And I was listening to Ron. Ron, with his, he got the same shit I got. He just say, check it out. I ain't got there yet, but I'm getting ready to incorporate that shit. Check it out. Because I'm just as hyper as him. And we talk frequently because Ron is almost done with his PhD. Listen, if I'm working on a PhD or an EDD, I need to talk with them. I can't, listen, no disrespect. If I'm working on the EDD, I can't fuck with a motherfucker working on the GED. Uh-huh. Y'all, come on, man. That don't even make sense. Come on, y'all taught me some shit. And I bought into y'all. You know, come on, listen, no disrespect. I got to be with the people that got EDDs, PhDs, or who trying to get them. Don't that make sense? That's second step stuff for me. You know, listen. I am so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all, listen, I didn't have a way out. When you use drugs like I did, which I don't know how y'all did it. I'm talking about me. I used drugs for so long, I didn't know nothing but using drugs. I didn't know no other life, man. In the city of Newark, born and raised there, y'all know how that shit went. Ain't nobody used drugs but me. Shit, Newark, a rough motherfucking town. Them motherfuckers is still crazy as hell up there. I got down here this morning, I thought I died and went to heaven. It's so subdued and serene down here. Y'all got it going the fuck on down here. Let me find out y'all living good down here. It's nice as hell down here. I ain't have a clue about no East Windsor or Hightstown. What the fuck? I ain't know. But I did my homework. I called down here because I got the information from the meeting off of the GSR, the groups up in Newark on Wednesday. I said, oh, let me get that paper. I wrote this stuff down. Called down here. They had a room, and I came down. And I'm glad I'm here, man. I'm really glad I'm here. Listen, how much time I got? Oh, okay. Listen, if you struggling, I ain't one of them out and say this for the newcomer. This for everybody in this room. Because guess what? Newsflash, ain't nobody exempt from the drug. Nobody. I don't give a fuck if you got 30 years. You pick that shit up and see what happened. And pick it up and use it and see what happened. So I'm going to say this. For all of us, y'all, I just make a suggestion that we all just keep coming no matter what, man. Because guess what? Every day ain't no good day for me. I don't know about you, but what I don't do is I don't pick up drugs. Listen, I hear people share, they say it ain't about the drug. Listen, every time I got high, I got broke. Every time I curse you out, I didn't get broke. So I can work on the fixing the behavior stuff. I know in the end it'll get, listen, this, I'm in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. If I'm not correct, narcotics is talking about drugs. So listen, it's always, for this addict, It's always going to be about the drug for me. All that cute shit I work on, the spiritual principles and trying to have forgiveness and all that old love shit and all that shit. Look, if I don't love your ass today, I'm still going to be all right. If I pick that shit up today, y'all can count me the fuck out. Y'all can count me the fuck out. So this is just a suggestion to me, from me to y'all. If you're struggling, please keep coming. If you're not struggling and you got substantial clean time, 100 sponsees, all that, still keep coming. Because listen, I know for a fact, I know for a fact that if an addict like me could stop using and stay stopped and lose the desire, it can happen for anybody in here. Listen, I'm an addict named Donald. That's all I have.
Help me welcome Lisa.
I'm an addict and my name is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Come here, baby. I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here and y'all helping me stay here. For that, I'm truly grateful. And I'll always say that because without y'all, it would be no me. You know, and I want to thank Don for sharing his experience, strength, and hope on instant gratification. Feel like it's been a long day. A little tired. You know, the topic, instant gratification. And I was sitting here and I was listening to him share about the instant and the impulsive. It talks about in our literature in the first step that we were trapped. We was trapped by our need for instant gratification. And all of that went hand in hand with the drug, and I ain't gonna beat it up and twist it and all of that. You know, he kind of broke down what instant mean and gratification and all of that. And for me, you know, paraphrase it, I want what the fuck I want, and I want it now. Real simple. When I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I ain't have a clue of it was all about me. All about me. And prior to getting here, I didn't know that I suffered with something on the inside of me that drove me and compelled me to get whatever I wanted, when I wanted, and whatever the price it was, I was willing to pay. So when I got here, I don't know, I'm not the girl who say that I suffered with a drug problem. Listen, because drugs is my obvious symptom. There was some other stuff going on with me long before I even picked the drug up. You know, always wanted what I wanted, when I wanted, you know. And by me being the only girl and having six brothers and a baby, I used to always run off of I'm spoiled. You know, not knowing that I suffered with a disease, right? And that it had no known cure, right? But I know it was rooted in obsession, compulsion, and total self-centeredness. So when I got the Narcotics Anonymous and I stopped using drugs, that was the easy part. But now that I ain't using drugs, I still want what I want when I want it. Now, I'm not going to do a lot of talking about the drug because active addiction, we all know what it was like to use. We're going to touch a little bit without no motherfucking drugs.
Come on, man.
Listen, I got the Narcotics Anonymous, right, and I didn't know that once I stopped putting drugs in me that I was going to break out in holy hell. I thought once I stopped using drugs, everything was going to be all right, and my life was going to be okay, and everything was going to pan out, you know. And I always wanted to be with somebody, and we care and share, and carry our basic texts, and we share all around the world, and all of that stuff. You know, like, look, listen, I'm talking about when I got to the program, right, I didn't have a clue of that I can still be driven without drugs in me. 10 years, 4 months, I ain't smoked nothing. Now, he was talking about PhDs and EEDs and all of that, and all of that is wonderful. But I want to talk about HIV and STDs. Instant gratification. I came here, I stopped using drugs, lose the desire to use, but I struggled with finding a new way to live. Staying clean is very easy. Change, hard as a motherfucker. And let me say this. Once you become beaten, it ain't that hard. But I don't know about you. It's something about me that I have to get a cry in a particular spot to stop. Listen, I suffer with a disease that leaves me with a void. I suffer with a disease. I want to tell you the exact nature and why I'm so prone to wanting instant gratification. Because I suffer with a disease that leaves me with a void. Now, one of the things I found out is that I was born with a void, and the only one that was supposed to fill it is God. But when I get here and I'm new, it's a long way between me and God. It says in our literature in the second step that most of us work a lacking relationship. Not just Lisa. So I got here and I stopped doing drugs and my instinct showed up. And I was the type of person, I ran off a lot of misinformed information. When one don't work, another one will. One bus go by, catch another one. Poor rat, only got one hole. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in the box to the left. And the next one coming in. And for a long time, I lived like that. Maybe my first 4, 5, 6 years clean. One of the things I'm in touch with is that the void that I have that sends me on this mission for instant gratification. And one of the things I'm in touch with, it ain't even got to be drugs. Relationship. It could be them $550 gators that I want. It can be coming to this convention, wanting a new outfit to get here. Shit at home ain't paid. Shit at home need to be paid. It could be a look. It could be a feeling. Anything that'll make me feel good. The moment that I don't accept that I'm not feeling okay, I have to be careful because I will go on an instant gratification mission. Call it a chase. Obsession and compulsion. Listen. So I get here and I stop using drugs. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but my ass was whooped, but I mourned when I had to stop using drugs. Mm-hmm. My first year or two, it was like a funeral going on. I wasn't nowhere clicking my motherfucking heels. Yeah, and all that. I was really depressed that I couldn't get high no more. I was, but like, listen, all of the good stuff, you know, I clapped and went through the motion and all of that stuff because y'all was going through it, but I went through a mourning process. You mean to tell me Bud ain't gonna make me wiser? I can't smoke a joint? Not even an easy water? I ain't talking about a Dutch, I just want a joint. I can't have wine with my spaghetti? Bitch, you ain't Italian. Anderson, first drug. You ain't never want no wine with your spaghetti. Always wanting to feel good. That's the exact nature. So listen, not having the ability, right? Not having the ability to be okay with myself. Because I'm so used to somebody else making me be okay. Or I'm so used to getting something that makes me feel better. I went on a mission around here. So my first My first 5 or 6 years, I was in and out relationships, you know. Listen, I want to say this. When we think of instant gratification, it ain't always about the things that'll make you feel good. You can have an emotion and not be able to survive it and look for something instantly. Like, I struggled with anger when I got here. I struggled with fear, and most of it was rooted in self-hatred. And I really didn't hate you and hate the world. I hated myself. But it projected like it was everybody else. And when I got here, I was angry. And listen, have anybody ever made you angry and you know when you do what you do that you're going to suffer the consequences, but you just can't hold on to the emotion? You just want instant gratification of punching them in their motherfucking mouth. Yes. Yes. No, you're going to jail. You know, you already know. Speed dial, police on speed dial. And it's always the one to get their ass whooped is the one to call.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about just being able, listen, to be angry and not act like I always act. Because I got some kind of pleasure. Like if I felt violated, or if I was angry, or I felt hurt, I ain't the only one that just need to do something just to get your ass back. And the moment I do it, I get instant gratification. Until you start building a relationship with God. But that was a process. See, for a long, listen, I'm telling you something. It's something about when you come into this fellowship and you stay here and you start doing work and you get in touch with that you were spiritually retarded.
Come on now.
That's all the second step to you repeating it. Right. To repeating the same things, expecting different results. You just spiritually retarded. How about when you don't even expect different results, you know what they're gonna be. And do it anyway, Rick. Spiritually retarded. So I get here and listen. I'm angry and I'm mad and I'm hurt and I'm upset and I want to get high and I don't know if I want to stay clean and I don't know if I want to get high. I don't even know if I have the ability this time to stay. I did 13 rehabs and 12 different detoxes. What the fuck made this time so different? I always said I ain't getting high no more and always got high. This is my last time. I ain't doing this shit no more. Yeah. Seriously, I ain't doing this for me. Seriously, I'm not doing this shit to myself no more. I'm not eating no more peanut butter and jelly. I'm not taking no more vitamins. Yeah. I'm not drinking no more of that juice to give me heartburn. I'm not doing this to myself no more, only to wind up doing it again. God was here when I got here. A mess. And listen. The instant gratification was just from the fact that I didn't know how to survive my emotions and live life as other people do. I came from a cannibal state. I came from a place, gladiators and Vikings. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I really had to learn how to live life all over again. I did. Where I came from, man, people wasn't saying thank you. May I have, please? Listen, a long time prior to getting here, I hadn't used utensils. You don't need no goddamn knife and fork for no little daddy. A bag of chips? A couple French fries? The whole of hug? See, I don't know about y'all, right? But listen, it ain't even the newcomer. I don't never want to forget my story. Never. I don't never want to forget what I had to do to get one more.
I'm talking about, listen, I'm the only girl and I got six brothers and I'm the baby. I'm daddy's girl. There's nothing that my mother and father wouldn't do for me. Catholic school all my life, new car at 16, new car at 18. But I want to talk about when that thing got finished with me. When that thing got finished with me, there ain't one no parts. Literature talks about family members become baffled and be exhausted and they attempt trying to help us. I made my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in 1987. I couldn't stop using drugs till 96. I ran in and out, 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 in and out for about 18 or 19 years. Because, you know, I still had some things. See, I admire. They talking about the addicts addicted today. I'm more fortunate. I be seeing them come straight in with cell phones. I stayed here a long motherfucking time. I be feeling some kind of way. I got 10 years or something. I ain't got a razor yet. I'm feeling some kind of way about that. I am. I want a cute little pink one, like the color of your hat. And I went to the Sprint place, and they talking about you got to wait till August to get the full value. Yeah, they come in today and they got cell phones and they got chains and they got jewelry and all that. I came in here, man, listen, I had five trash bags and a six-year-old daughter. Nowhere to stay. Nowhere to go. Didn't know where I was going after the meeting. I came here in that condition. I looked a mess. I smelled a mess. Crackhead ate my hair out. I was about five shades darker. But I, look, you couldn't tell me shit, though. I'm the addict. You couldn't tell shit. You know, my in and out was because when I first tried to get clean down, I still had some stuff. You know, I come from the Jordache area and the Sergio Valente and the bamboos and the horse heads and the EKs with the snake skin with all different colored tents. You know, the Anya bags and Anya boots. Yeah, so ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm a young girl, you know, standing all in the back of the meeting. I'm cool, ain't nothing wrong with me. You know, I had lies I hadn't told you. Strange dicks I hadn't sucked. I had some clothes I needed to sell out my closet. And there was some food that was waiting on me to come out my freezer. And my baby's Pampers and stuff. See, I'm going to tell you something. I hear a lot of people talk about success. I just want to share with you, I was very successful in my life at one time. A very successful drug user. And I'll never become successful at nothing else. Number one bestseller. Very successful at fucking my life up. And then I get here. Listen, I don't know. I God know what he be doing. Mm-hmm. When I got here, I ain't want no job. I ain't worked for my first 2-3 years, Rick. I ain't want no job because y'all was telling me my job was to stay clean. I wanted to be instant, but I had, listen, and I'm from Philadelphia, and I had some women there that were some riders, and they grabbed us, and they didn't let us self-destruct. Not as least as possible, but you still gonna do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But they was telling me, I want a job. Your job is to stay clean. Well, because I wanted to look like everybody else. So I started learning how to go to the thrift store, match my shit up. Ensembles like a motherfucker. Yeah. Pink belt, pink shoes. Yeah, none of that shit cost over $20. Not even the sunglasses. And I got here, and one of the things I got in touch with is that everything that I got instantly always hurted me. And anything that I got instantly and I didn't earn, I didn't keep. and anything that I got instantly never meant me no good. You know, because I was the one that if I got in a relationship with you and we wasn't fucking in 2 days, something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You got something? Why you ain't trying to break bread with my father? All that, I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm waiting on God, and I'm looking for the burning bush, and all that. That was late on down the line. Nigga, we need to...
I knew.
My thing was, you can't take it with you. You know, all that shit we tell ourselves. So, when, listen, when I didn't have money to shop. That wasn't my story. I couldn't shop away and all of that, but one of the things that I used as instant gratification was the food. See, I don't know about over here, but I know in Philadelphia, they give you some food stamps high as Billy Penn's hat. Why you think everybody coming up 95 to Philadelphia? For real. Why you think a lot of different cities coming to Philadelphia? Because they treat you good with the food stamps. They don't give you nothing else. You can get a stamp. Trust me. And I got some food stamps. And every time I felt something, I start eating. I couldn't shop. So I start eating. And fucking. Eating and fucking. Fucking and eating. Because you know, after you do one, you gotta do the other. I don't care which one go first. Thinking about eating fucking make you wanna eat. So listen, after I turn around and look, and using the food to fill the void, you know, still clean, being trapped by my need for instant gratification, I wake up one morning and I'm 287 pounds. Follow me. We talking about instant gratification. I ain't eating no whole bunch of lettuce. I am not one of them valley bitches. We ain't doing all this and all that. We ain't doing all that Tybo. And I ain't do this. I start out good with the best stuff. I do that for about a week. I'm done. I ain't seeing no results. You know the shit we tell ourselves. So by me not having what it takes in me to do what I need to do, I want this weight off me instantly. Mm-hmm. I had a gastric bypass surgery. How fucking instant can you get? I go in the hospital on a Monday. Shit, I come out on a Sunday. The following week, I had lost 30 pounds. 6 months into the surgery, I had lost 90 pounds. 2 years later, I had lost 140 pounds. I'm done now. Instant. Gratification. I didn't have time to be praying and asking God to help me. Motherfucker choking. I'm trying to tie my shoe. I walk up 3 steps. I need a brown paper bag. Literature talks about the easiest off the way.
Yeah.
I had good insurance at the time. I found a way out. I went for it. Instant. From a 24 down to a 7-8. Listen. One thing I love about this program, it says to thy own self be true. I needed to start telling myself the truth. I had slim fast, slim slow, count points, count calories, count carbs. I done tried Tybo, Dabo. I done bought bands, balls, barbells, weights, treadmill, all that bullshit, and it seemed like I got bigger. Just walking in looking at that shit just remind you how fat statue is, bitch.
This shit ain't gonna never go away.
Instant. I wanted to lose the weight. People were saying don't do it, but the people that were saying don't do it wasn't big people.
Yeah, right.
They wasn't big. They talking about tracked by need for instant gratification. I was trapped in that area. They ain't know how I felt, how the low self-esteem kept haunting me, the low self-worth. I don't care what nobody say. You'd rather be an 8 than a 28 if you ever sat and told yourself the truth. So I found a way out and I took it. And that girl, people dying from that surgery, and you shouldn't do that. Listen, and people living with it too, here I am. One thing I found out, life is risky. Third step say make a decision. Because I can't run on your fear. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to God. And I took him right in the hospital with me. Because it's somehow you can sit up and look at some stuff and talk yourself out of some stuff. But check this out. You ain't even got to be on the surgery table to die. Not the way things going now. You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time buying a fucking loaf of bread. You'll be walking your kids to school. You'll be getting out your car. In the wrong place at the wrong time and get hit by a bullet. I don't believe he had to take me to an operating table to bring me on home. Jealous ass motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, shit.
Motherfucker. Another need, instant gratification. Listen. Y'all know, I've transformed and crossed over to the other side. And I feel cute. And I'm, you know, liking guys and everything. So listen, something about instant gratification, it'll have you in predicaments where you would never have been if you wasn't trying to get that thing fed. You know, the self-acceptance pamphlet talks about we go inside for the inward, that gnawing, uncomfortable feeling that we have. Well, they might as well not put that in there because my shit say go outside. So I meet this guy. You know, one of the things I found out, we talking about learning a new way to live. Mm-hmm. Listen, I walked around a long time in illusion in the image of being a man. You feel me, John? So a lot of stuff, the literature talks about if you don't use it, you lose it. So a lot of stuff, listen, and I started being with women when I was 14, and I'm 41. And most of the men in my life is my brothers and my fathers and their friends, so I've learned how to interact and get along with men. I love sports. I'm a sport fanatic. You would never have to worry about me arguing about you sitting in front of motherfucking TV, because I'm going to be right there with you. Who's playing, pimpin'? Pop the popcorn. You know, so a lot of stuff I'm learning, right? And it's something about the transformation with the weight, and then, you know, like just letting God just reinvent and recreate what I see today. But I got to be careful. Really do. One of the things I found out is that we're thrust in here together. And I'm not even going to get into everybody don't have my best interest at heart, but I know that we suffer in different rates and degrees of sickness. See, once you can accept you for who you are, you won't have the need to throw daggers when people act out on their defects or shortcomings. And one of the things has been going on. I haven't been in a relationship or anything in the past 7-8 months. I've been allowing God to kind of work with me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm 41 years old and I spent a lot of time in the life that I was in, and that's where I was at and that worked for that time. But I want me a husband. Sure do. And one of the things I'm in touch with is that I really wasn't created or divined or made to be by myself. And this is just the understanding that I've come to, that I know he don't want me with women. Now, we're talking about the God of our understanding, you know, because I can believe you can have a remedial God. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, serenity prayer. But through the 11th step, you start building a closer relationship. Right. Now I need to put a face and a label on my God. Been here 10 years. All that playing around. You need to know who you're serving. You need to come to an understanding of what you're serving. Now, listen, and this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual program, but this program set you up. Y'all set me up. It was nice, too. Yeah, y'all some slick asses. Every time I go to you for something, pray. Every time something wrong, pray. Every time I want to do something, did you pray? Did you talk to God about it? Don't make no moves till you talk to God. Don't do none of that till you talk to God. So I start talking to God and building a relationship. And then outside of here, I start cracking open a book. Information is powerful. And I needed to start understanding who and what I was, where I was really created from, where, what's my purpose? What am I driven by? What do I want to do? Okay, now I go to you in prayer because I'm hurting and I'm in pain. And the instant gratification ain't working no more. Because at some point, it stopped working. The clothes, the food, the sex, the women, the men, the cars, the house. Listen, I seen a boy the other day. He was riding some hot shit. That thing was tight. That nigga was talking about killing himself. I'm talking about the car was tight. Talk all to you back up from the car. You know, you are now approaching Broad Street. You know all that. Don't nobody in the car talk to me but me. If I ain't got a tape in or a radio on, this car talking and all that, I'm talking about some real nice stuff. And he pulled over, Lisa, what you doing? I need to talk to you. Man, I'm thinking about killing myself. The seat's doing me like this while I'm in there talking to him. They heating, vibrating. I start breaking. You know what I mean? I said, oh, this ain't nothing but a party. All of this going on in the car? Oh, I gotta keep coming. I want me two of them.
Yeah,
right. And he was talking about killing himself. And one of the things I found out is the longer you stay here, you're going to become obedient with God. You're going to listen. You're going to obey or you're going to pay. Now, I ain't going to tell you my transformation has been easy. When I move out the way and let him do what he do to me because he don't need my permission, it's graceful. But at some point, you know, fear set in, vulnerability, this over here is unfamiliar. This over here is familiar. You know, this over here, I'm in control. This over here, I'm not in control. You know, and I'm going to tell you something, how God do it. Because listen, one of the things I'm in touch with is that he don't set up the scenario and put you in it. He prepare you first and bring you to it. Listen, I don't even look at women. I don't know about nobody. Listen, I loved women all my life. The woman's anatomy, listen, a man ain't had nothing on me. I was the best that ever did it. And I'm a woman, so it ain't gonna take me long as you. I can get right to the point.
I know what she like. And about 4 months ago, I was in my car. This is, Donald, this is how you know when things are over. And listen, instant gratification. Ain't don't even work no more. Listen, I was in so many relationships with women. I got caught about 2 years ago in a relationship. I was seeing two people. I was hurting. I was in pain. Instant gratification wasn't working no more. I woke up one morning and I wanted to get high, John. Talk about that. You know, at first it was fun. Niggas was, yeah, Lisa, you pimping. You the shit. You got it going on. You got these motherfuckers around here fighting, paranoid, killing each other. I'm sitting back, yeah, well, nigga, it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, tell me, man, and listen, man, they need to do some work, man. One of them financially supporting me. The other one dropping down, getting that evil on. You know, I use drugs and I'm in touch with that because I'm an emotional coward. So I tell you about her and tell her about you. Now, one of y'all make a decision. Because I can't. And then neither one want to let go. Police was involved, stay away orders, ice picks, outside the meetings and all that. He's like, damn, what the hell you be doing to them girls? And I'm saying, listen, nigga, I can't give you all my skills and my points. I woke up one morning, I wanted to get high. Yeah, the meetings was over, the clapping had stopped. I was laying at home in the bed. My daughter was in school, and for the first time, and I had like 7 years, for the first time in my life, I had an overwhelming desire to smoke crack. He was telling me, ain't nobody home, ain't nobody gonna know, you can go ahead and cop right now, it's 9 o'clock, your daughter won't be back here at 4 o'clock, you can be all right by the time she gets out, ain't nobody gotta know, stay in and chill today, and make the meeting tomorrow like ain't nothing ever happened. Yeah. Played it all the way out for me. Ain't nobody got no. Run around the corner, hit that, come back and lock yourself in the house. We talking about, listen, you cannot stay here and do what you want to do. I don't care if it's a woman scenario, a heterosexual, I don't care which one it is. We have a set of guidelines and principles that you have to live by. It don't matter to be with a fucking billy goat. If you telling one billy goat you love her, you better not tell another billy goat you love her. Somebody being dishonest. We talking about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Don't matter who you laying with. So I woke up and I wanted to get high. And I remember getting out the bed, and I could hear all of y'all voices. And I got out the bed and I got on my knees, and I said, God, please, please, I don't want to get high. I swear I don't want to get high. If you just let me make it through this, I will make a decision.
Come on.
We talking about building a relationship. He said, until you nurture the woman that I've made in you,
that's right.
Ain't nothing else gonna be possible.
That's right.
He said, take them boy clothes off.
That's right.
I got you.
That's right.
You can't recover guarded up.
Right.
You got to be vulnerable to recover.
Yeah.
You got to uncover so you can discover, so you can recover. Because
right.
I don't know about you, when I had all that shit when I was super dyke. And I was big and got all these tattoos on my body and shit. You know, and the women was loving me and I'm riding motorcycles and crazy as hell. A legend in my own mind. He said, take them clothes off. There's something about the 11th step. Listen, I heard people talk about money and all that, but I'm at the point in my life and I've experienced that you can be happy with or without a job, with or without. Listen, when my spiritual condition is met, my living problems are reduced to a point of comfort.
That's right.
Right.
He ain't never lied.
Right. No.
Never. No. Listen, no. Them people that put them books together, they some bad mothers. Yeah. Shut your mouth. They ain't never lied with that literature, man. So I get up off my knees and listen. I'm we talking about exchange. I made an exchange with him that day. I made an exchange with him. I asked him if he allowed me to get through this and don't use, I will be obedient to his will. So take them clothes off. Then I had to go back and he talked about sponsorship. If I'm in a program that's guaranteeing me, listen, instant gratification, that's all the broads was giving me.
Right.
If I'm in a program that's guaranteeing me closer to God, why are you doing so much work trying to be a dude? What God is you serving? Because y'all said I can't serve two. So now I got to say, okay, I take the clothes off. He don't give me the instructions after that. He said, take the clothes off. And he sent me back in here to the meetings. He said, now you're going to have to be vulnerable. You know, because you did a lot of time running around here on ego and pride and false images and all that shit you done made up. Suave, you know, pimping, you know, super dyke and all that. No, now, listen, now I need you to be vulnerable. You need me. I need you to come to me. I need you to come to me. Listen, first they'll talk about recreating the God. Yeah, I had to get back here and recreate one that was loving and caring for me. But listen, the more I start reading the literature and reading some other stuff, I came to believe in a God and my understanding, that ain't his will for me. Information is powerful. So now I have to, and listen, this is how I know God is in it. Check this out. I'm going to say this and be quiet. I was at the light. Somehow you be wanting to just be where you familiar at. I was at the light, John. Broad and Cecil B. Moore. Temple students. Whole pack of them. Walk across the street. I'm sitting there. One of them crossed by. Would have been my flavor. I looked at her, I said, damn, that's a nice outfit she got on. I ain't feel nothing. I didn't go through nothing. I didn't have to struggle and pull over and call nobody and none of that. Guess what I did? I pulled over and I started crying because that was my spiritual awakening. Right. It's over. I don't listen. I know ain't nothing but God can remove the desire for me. All my life, since I was 14, 41, I don't even have enough sense to do nothing like that. We talk about miracles. What are miracles? They are supernatural gifts from God. So, I don't know, I've been letting Chana, a few people teach me how to be a lady. Push up bra.
Yeah.
Strings running all over my head.
That's it. Hey, girl.
And they talk about, bitch, come on, you gotta get your feet done.
Yeah.
Get your nails done.
Yeah.
And your bra panties need to match. I didn't shave my armpits in about 30 years. I felt like a chicken. They said, no, boo, you gotta get that from underneath there. I said, oh, it's a lot of work come. Terry, I love her. I said, it's a lot of work come with this girl stuff. What the hell is going on? And this shit is expensive if you want to look halfway decent. I can throw in a baseball hat and a goddamn pair of jeans and just stroll on up into me. Now you got to be coordinated and shit all done. I need a job and a husband.
explicit. Y'all ain't never told me this shit. Y'all just said, girl, just go and let God do what he gonna do. Ain't nobody say they gonna coupon. Chandler wanna run all up and Bath and Body and Victoria.
I love this program.
Me too.
This program is awesome. I just want to say, if you're new, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, and just thanks y'all for letting me share some of me with y'all. That's it.